There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Welcome to Midday Mobile. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean Sullivan today. I appreciate him giving me the opportunity to do that here on FM Talk 106.5. Usually, if you don't know much about me, I have filled in for Sean before, but if you weren't listening back then, that's all right. If you don't know much about me, I'm host of the Yaffe program on WVNN Radio in Huntsville, 9 to 11 a.m. Monday to Friday. Now, obviously, you're going to listen to FM Talk 106.5, not that in the morning, but you can catch the podcast anywhere podcasts are available. Just Google the Yaffe program podcast. You can listen to me anytime, or you can follow me on Twitter at Yaffe. Yaffe, my last name, Y-A-F-F-E. You are like the Yaffe Facebook page. Been in Alabama a little over a year and a half now, originally from Orlando, Florida, and the one and only Dale Jackson recruited me to come up to Huntsville, and love it. Love it here. Love it in Alabama. One thing I want to talk about this hour, and by the way, just kind of a programming note, at the bottom of the hour, I am going to speak with Chris Horn. He is running for Secretary of State in Alabama. He's running against Jim Ziegler, Wes Allen. A lot of interesting stuff going on in that race. So we'll talk to him about why he decided to run, how the campaign is going, so on, and some of the controversy involved in that race. So we'll get to that at the bottom of the hour. But one thing that's going on, as you know, in terms of the world, is the Olympics. Now, I have to admit, I've never been a huge Olympics guy, meaning I've never been a huge fan of watching the Olympics. And if I do, it's usually the Summer Olympics more than the Winter Olympics. Maybe it's because I'm from Orlando and, you know, we don't have a usual winter down there in Orlando. I don't know, but he's never been a big Olympics guy. And especially lately, and especially this year, no. I mean, because it's in Beijing again, why in the world the Olympic Committee thought that was a good idea? I don't know. But you have the news about Aline Gu, who is U.S. born, but is representing China in the Olympics. She was originally born in San Francisco, and she was asked today, you know, if she had to relinquish or get rid of her U.S. citizenship in order to compete with China, which usually you have to do. By the way, she won her medal during the women's freestyle skiing big air medal ceremony there. So, and I don't know how anyone could be born in the United States, go back to China. I mean, I guess maybe the Chinese Communist Party will treat her good because they want her to look good in front of the world, while they treat the rest of the population, you know, horribly, and especially the Uyghurs. But one thing I'm going to try to do here, talking about the Olympics, is I'm going to connect our reaction to the Olympics, our reaction to what's going on in the NFL and the coaches situation, and our reaction to certain criminal things going on and certain laws to combat crime around the country. We have crime wave around the country. I'm going to connect all of those things to critical race theory. Because when we think about the fight over critical race theory, think about it being taught in our schools, and education was the big topic of the last hour. But really everything, the mindset, the narrative that is behind teaching critical race theory is already prevalent in our culture and is having an effect on not only domestic policy, not only our culture, not only things like sports, but international affairs as well. So let me give you an example of this. And Dalton, I'm going to get to the audio cuts here. And one audio cut I do want to play is an ESPN commentator. He was on Around the Horn. It's a show I used to watch, actually. I used to love that show. J.A. Adonde. And he was talking about watching the Olympics, even though there's all this controversy surrounding it being in Beijing. And he said something that is pretty disturbing. Can you go ahead and play the J.A. Adonde cut for me, Dalton?
Who are we to criticize China's human rights records when we have ongoing attacks by the agents of the state against unarmed citizens, and we've got assaults on the voting rights of our people of color in various states in this country? So sports, I think it is possible, and it's necessary more than ever to just shut everything out if you are to enjoy the actual games themselves.
So he's making the point there that, well, originally he was trying to make the point that you can kind of ignore the politics and just enjoy the sports. And I'm sure a lot of people do that with the NFL and other things. But then he goes on to say, we have no room to talk. That, yeah, China does bad things, but so does the United States. We're just as bad. This false equivalency. Because, well, some Republicans want to have voting laws passed to, you know, to secure the vote and prevent voter fraud. He says, no, that's racist. And of course, the narrative of Black Lives Matter, that police are just willy-nilly killing people, which of course isn't true. But you have to understand, this is much bigger than the Olympics. There is a narrative out there in our culture that teaches that, well, America is a really, really bad place. And it's actually really, really racist. And in fact, we're so bad that we have no room to talk about human rights in China. He actually believes this. Well, sometimes I wonder if they do actually believe this, because I don't think he would want to live in China. But it seems like he actually believes the narrative being put out there about how America is those things and not even better than China. Think about that. Where does that thinking come from? Where does that come from? Another example of this is what's going on in the NFL. Another commentator, sports commentator, you know, Stephen A. Smith was talking about this on his show today about the coaching situation and about how there's a lawsuit against the NFL, as you know, that, well, the NFL is systemically racist against blacks in terms of coaching, that they don't want to hire black coaches. Now, it's so difficult for me to buy that the NFL is racist. How many blacks play for the NFL, work for the NFL, broadcast for the NFL, all of these things, all but the NFL is racist? Okay, but Stephen A. Smith commented on this today because there is one coach who is biracial who is just made a head coach, but that's not good enough for Stephen A. Smith. Go ahead and play that cut for me, Dalton.
When we look at Mike McDaniels, we wish him nothing but the best. What did you say? He's mixed? Is that what you said, Molly?
Multiracial is how he identifies.
Multiracial. Okay, fine. No problem. This was a conversation last week about black men not getting jobs in the National Football League as head coaches. That's what, you know, you can be multiracial, that's fine.
His father's black.
That's fine. I understand.
His father's black.
Yeah. I understand that. I'm not knocking him. I wish him nothing but the best. And he's been a coordinator in the National Football League. Good luck to him. Okay? What I'm saying is the conversation last week pertaining to the Brian Flores situation is the scarcity of black men who have been given opportunities to be head coaches in the National Football League.
So you have an example of a minority who is, yes, multiracial, but has a black father. And no, don't you see? The NFL is still racist because he's not fully black. Now, this shows the absurdity of identity politics. When you get obsessed with the pigmentation of someone's skin, this is the kind of road you go down. And it's just something I wish America could look past. And I guess we can. I'd rather focus on the individual and their individual characteristics. But the Democrat Party thrives on believing America and teaching America is racist. So that's not going to change. We're just going to be focused on identity politics. One more cut I want to play here. This is a cut that happened on the Joy Reid Show by Brittany Packnett Cunningham, a commentator on MSNBC, talking about a new law that's trying to be passed over self-defense. Go ahead and play that cut for me, Dalton.
The McCloskeys were front row and center to testify on behalf of passing this bill. This was, of course, the couple that was made famous by stepping outside of their restricted covenant mansion in St. Louis, Glocks in tow, pulling their guns out on unarmed Black protesters. But of course, to people like the McCloskeys, Black skin is weapon enough. And this is precisely the problem. This is exactly what this bill is designed to do. It's to legitimize seeing Blackness as a weapon in and of itself and then justify our murders. It is meant to terrorize us and frighten us away from ever using our voices. I also want to set the proper historical context because back in the day, by 1950, Missouri had the second highest number of lynchings outside of the Deep South. So when folks talk about making America great again, that's the kind of Missouri grand old tradition that they want to return to. They want to return to days when you could lynch or murder Black folks and there would be absolutely no retribution for it. That's not hyperbole. I'm telling you, as a Black Missourian and as a protester, that is reality.
So them in Missouri wanting to shore up self-defense laws because they had riots there in neighborhoods. No, that's actually racist. And it means that they want to be able to murder Blacks. And if you say make America great again, what you really mean is you want to go back a time where Black people were lynched. It's crazy. It's craziness. Obviously, that's craziness that's coming. But they believe it. So what do all of these things have in common? They all go back to that critical race theory narrative that this country is still very, very racist, that we have made no progress really since the civil rights movement, and that any reform you want to make in one direction or the other is actually just trying to take us back to Jim Crow. And that really America is systemically racist to the core and the institutions must be torn down and rebuilt because of that systemic racism. It's all based on that critical race theory, critical theory mindset. And the problem is they want this mindset taught to our kids in schools. That's what they want. You want me to be for teaching this kind of nutso curriculum to kids in schools so the next generation can truly believe America is systemically racist and evil to the core, that we can't even talk about China human rights abuses? But of course they want to do that because it's about tearing down what we have to rebuild some kind of socialist utopia in its place. And we're seeing it all over the place. We're going to take calls in a moment when we get back from the break here. You can call at, let me get the number, 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. Critical race theory, this kind of thinking, deep in our culture, and they want to embed it into the minds of our kids in schools. This is Yaffe Villain in for Sean Sullivan here on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean here on FM Talk 106.5. Appreciate you joining the show. Appreciate you letting me ran for a bit since Sean is out. Talked about a lot of different things. If you want to call in, you can. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Or hit me up on the text line. You can do that as well. You know, in the last segment, I was talking about how critical race theory, that kind of thinking, has infected a lot of our culture. A lot of different things. Sports. How we view sports, how we view any kind of election laws, how we view what's going on with the Olympics. The critical race theory mindset, which exists in a lot of people now, is that America is systemically racist, that it's evil. We have no reason to talk about other countries like China in the world because we're just as bad, you see, that false equivalency. I don't know how anyone with a rational mind with an objective view of reality can think that way, but some do. But, you know, there was another piece kind of on this subject recently at AL.com that I was talking about last week on my show. I'll bring it up here by Elena Darova. The title of the piece, guest opinion, banning discussion of race, gender, sets dangerous precedent, undermines democracy. Now, this is by someone who, she says in the piece, was born in the Soviet Union. And says banning teaching critical race theory or allowing transgender theory in the classroom. If you ban that kind of stuff in the classroom, well, you're just like the Soviet Union. That's what they would have done. That's her whole argument in this piece. Now, I just want to mention that nobody's banning the discussion of race in schools. Critical race theory is not just a plain discussion of race or slavery. Critical race theory is based on critical theory that says that all disparities that exist in America are because of systemic racism in institutions. And the only way to combat that discrimination is with more discrimination on the other side. That's basically critical race theory. But what makes me kind of laugh about this is she's talking about, well, the Soviet Union did stuff like this and suppressed dissent and it's dangerous for democracy. Let me tell you something. The Soviet Union, when it was around, would have loved critical race theory. Critical theory is based on a lot of things that the Soviet Union said and believed. You know, when I played that cut from J.A. Adonde, when he had that false equivalency between China and the U.S. saying, well, America does all these bad things. What, we can't say anything about China. You know who used to say the exact same thing 50 years ago, 40 years ago? Soviet leaders, including Mikhail Gorbachev, but others would come to the U.S. and anytime we brought up human rights abuses in the Soviet Union or the failures of their system or their oppression, they would come back and say basically what J.A. Adonde said. Well, you have problems of racism. You have no room to talk because America is racist. They take that narrative and they would use it all the time against us. All the time. So the idea that teaching critical race theory, which is that same kind of narrative, is against what the Soviet Union would have done. The Soviet Union loved critical theory, loved critical race theory, would have been happy to teach that kind of thing in schools because it's based on what the Soviet Union, what communist Russia at the time was completely based on. And they used the same arguments that I am now hearing from the American left, the far left that believes in critical race theory. And yet I'm being told that if you want to ban a curriculum, now we're not talking about banning speech. That's another thing. Oh, if you don't want critical race theory taught in schools, well, you're just a part of cancel culture. That's what we're hearing now. What are you talking about? You're telling me that we've never had a say in the curriculum that's going on in schools and we should never be concerned that all speech should be allowed in the classroom in curriculum? That's never been the case ever. Obviously, there's always a discussion from government leaders on what should be taught to kids in school in the classroom. Obviously. So this idea that all of a sudden you want to say and what the curriculum is because you see the damage of that kind of curriculum being taught. And by the way, those who say it's a fake issue when it comes to critical race theory, a lot of this started because the Biden administration had a special grant program to schools that implemented the 1619 curriculum. Yes, there was a curriculum made based on the 1619 project that was meant to be taught in schools, and there was a grant program pushed by the Biden administration to have that taught in schools. And that caused a lot of the reaction here. So don't tell me it's just a fake issue that was never taught. They have to push the narrative that America is all of these things. And the Soviet Union, you want to talk about them, they would have loved it. They would have loved it back then. So coming up next, we're going to speak with Chris Horn. He's running for Secretary of State here in Alabama. You're listening to Yaffe filling in for Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome here on FM Talk 106.5. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean Sullivan. Appreciate him giving me the opportunity to do that. If you want to find out more about me, you can follow me on Twitter at Yaffe. I'm the host of the Yaffe program on WVNN in Huntsville, 9 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday. You can catch the podcast of that pretty much anywhere podcasts are available. Joining me on the phone right now is Chris Horn. Now he's the head of the Tennessee Valley Republican Club, also also running for Secretary of State in Alabama. Chris, how are you today?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, Yaffe. How are you?
Good. So, yeah, I wanted to bring you on because that race has been getting a lot of attention, as you would suspect. And, you know, I just wanted to get you on to talk about why you decided to jump in, throw your hat in the ring.
I love the state of Alabama. I love the people of Alabama. And I'm original Alabama, you know, from the coast. My family comes from the community of the last slave ship, the Clotilda community in Mobile. My mother is from Birmingham, and my grandmother's from Selma. And there's a rich history of voting and voting rights. And my great uncles and grandfather fought in the World War against Hitler and the Axis of Evil in Europe. They came home as heroes, and certainly when they went to go and vote, they were denied the right to vote, and their vote was stolen from them. And so for me, I want to make certain that everyone can have quite comfort and understand that their vote is being protected, and I want to make certain that this election in 2020 is one that never happens again. You know, I stand for voter ID. I want same-day stand-online elections. And I want to make certain that people who even lose the election have confidence through audits that, in fact, it was a fair and free election. So I'm excited about it.
Okay, well, yeah, that's really good. Now, how is the campaign going so far then, you think?
I tell you, I'm going to be down in the Gulf area this Thursday, as a matter of fact. I've been all over the state, from Mobile to Gulf Shores to Fort Morgan, all the way up the line to Auburn and Montgomery. I'll be in Fayette tonight. And all across Birmingham, I've been there, and, man, I must have hit over 50 counties, I believe, so far. And, of course, being from the Tennessee Valley, you got to be on the road to go see the whole state. I love it. I'm having fun. It feels like I'm a football recruiter for Alabama Auburn. I love it.
Okay, so there was a recent controversy in terms of the whole Secretary of State's office, where Wes Allen was accusing the state of being a part of a system that he said was funded by George Soros. John Merrill came back and said, no, that's not true. And it was kind of a back and forth. And from what I understand, Wes Allen is still doubling down on that. Did you have a position on any of that?
Well, I like to stay out of grown folks' arguments. Those two seem to be going at it a little bit. Look, I don't support anything that's connected to George Soros. It's someone that, as you know, I'm Tennessee Valley Republican Club chairman. I'm the North Alabama Director of Outreach, and I'm on the executive committee in Madison County. So I work for our candidates and our team, and George Soros has been the enemy of our ideas and our values. So I understand the disdain of George Soros. I also understand that if we can do this by ourselves, I take the conservative approach. I want us to handle our own affairs, and I want us to do it the best that we can possibly do. My experience in databases comes from my experience in engineering. I'm from Huntsville, Alabama, where we put a man on the moon and missiles in the air to defend our country. Started my career in the U.S. Army Research Labs. I get databases. So what I understand what Wes's position of me not trying to be involved with a bad database that exploits us and we can get exploited by other states, but I also understand what John Merrill's position is. And right now his position is that database called ERIC is one that allows us to know who is in our system, who may be trying to cheat our system, who may have come from a different state and still are enrolled in their state, someone who votes here in the general, but then want to go somewhere else and vote in a primary. So we need to keep our rolls, our voter rolls, very, very clean. And that ERIC system has been effective in taking off probably, or check and balance of, about 1 million records since John has been there. So John has it on his back right now. He's the current SOS, and certainly he says that he doesn't have any connection to the Eric system, and we have to trust what he says, but let's trust and verify that we're not being corrupted. But that Eric system has helped us in Huntsville, and as it does in Mobile and Dothan, because these are the explosive areas of the South, the Gulf Coast and the Tennessee Valley. We're proud of that. But what we have is a lot of people coming into our states. We've had an open border of the Mexican border. So we have people who want to infiltrate our election system, and that Eric database catches and filter those to make certain that they're eligible, that they're not cheating our system, and that it makes it easy to vote, but hard to cheat. You know, we don't want people to cheat our elections, and if we don't have a clean voter rolls, if we don't have a clean, secure election integrity system, we also may have some VRA issues, some Voting Rights Act issues. And as we know, just yesterday, the Supreme Court, we dodged a bullet there, and we're able to go forward with our elections. So we have responsibilities with the VRA. We have responsibilities to protect our databases. And we also have a responsibility to protect them from evil. And George Soros and what he represents is not reflective of what we need in Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, that last part, I would agree with 100% for sure. So you had talked about the Supreme Court case there. The Supreme Court made a ruling to allow the map in Alabama over redistricting to stay in place for now. Now, they have not commented on the Voting Rights Act. They have not commented on the overall case. They just said, look, time's running out. The elections are coming up. You can't force them to change things this soon to the primary. But what was your take on all that?
From the very beginning, I had a chance to stand and talk at the pancake breakfast over in Hoover, I think it was last Saturday, with our attorney general. And we had some time and we talked about it. You know, I've attended law school, and I've talked to my old law school dean to get a feel of where things are with this Voting Rights Act in this specific case. I do think that the Supremes, they sang a great song, and they were right. But what this only did was hit the pause button. They basically said what I thought they should have said when it was Trump in 2020, that if it's going to disrupt the election this late in the game, if you're going to change the rules this late in the game, it's too disruptive, and we shouldn't do that. It's interesting that they didn't do that during the Trump administration when he was fighting for not to have rules change in the 2020 contest. But I think they're right. They were right there. I do believe, though, that I believe in states' rights. I do believe that states have the ability to take care of their own affairs, and the Constitution guarantees that the states are responsible time, place, and manner. But due to our legacy, the Voting Rights Act is there. We've had it tweaked in 2013 where federal oversight has been limited. And, of course, the Democrats want more federal lawsuits. And that's what my problem is. They're saying that black Americans don't have a right to choose who they want. Well, they can choose Chris Horn. I'm a guy who happens to have a great tan, but who understands what our state needs. If they want to choose, they just have to vote Republican. That's what they have to do. And ultimately, it can't be based on race. That's the problem. Any type of racial profile or making a means test based on race in 2022 is misguided. And that's why I ran for office, is that I want America to know that we are a different Alabama than what CNBC and MSNBC and CNN try to make us to be. This is a new Alabama. I represent that. We're not Jim Crow 2.0. We're not the sons and daughters of the old Jim Wallace, not the new Jim Wallace. We are not voter suppressionists. And Christian Horn and my election will represent that change. And the people of Alabama can be very proud that I'm going to be an ambassador for that change, to show people, to show the Democrats, and to show all of the world that we indeed have a new day.
Yeah, and you mentioned there that, yes, you are black. I believe if you win, you would be the first black Secretary of State in the history of the state. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I'm pretty sure that's right. But it must frustrate.
I had a great tan, yeah. I didn't say I was black. I said I had a great tan.
Okay, well, I happen to know that you are black.
Yes, I mean, really and truly, I think that I tell people all the time, you know, I'm a guy who survived the brain aneurysm, and I didn't care what color the neurosurgeons were. I didn't care what color EMT and ambulance or the sheriffs or the firemen who brought me in 5 years ago. I didn't care when I was going to learn how to to speak and walk again because I was paralyzed from the neck down. What I cared about, if these people cared about my life and didn't see my skin complexion as a barometer of how they're going to treat me. And I'm going to take that into this office. I care about all people, and our blood runs red, man. And that's what I care about is people and not race.
Well, and it must frustrate you, too, as well, that Democrats, one reason they were arguing for a change in the maps is they thought it would get them another Democrat legislator in the state, another Democrat congressman or woman. And it's got to frustrate you that they just assume that the black voters are going to vote Democrat.
Exactly.
And that's something that's got to really bother you.
That really bothers me because you got guys like Congressman Donald in D.C. right now. We speak to this all the time. I mean, the reality is that their whole hope was, and you know this, I think Congresswoman Sewell is in a plus 82 district where she's going to win 82 to 18. It's primarily a Democrat district. If we would have split the map, her numbers would have gone down to Democrat plus 2 or plus 3. So although she goes out in the public and says, this is racist and this is wrong, it's the best thing that ever happened to her because she doesn't have to campaign or do anything because she's going to win. The reality is we need to move past race, and that's how they keep tattooing Alabama, my state that I love. The reality is I know the horrors of what it used to be, but I love this state and this country, and I want to be that ambassador to be able to look the race hustlers in the face and say, no, it's not about race. It's about us, and it's about us not just in public sector, but when private companies come around, they want to look at a state to move to, or U.S. Army affiliates want to move to the state, some of them try to be woke, and it's up to me to make certain that we can undergird our economy and keep business flowing by saying, hey, we're not Alabama the past. I represent the future. Just like if you look at Alabama's offensive line or offense, they don't care what color the team is. They just want to win. And Alabama, they can win with me, man. And I look forward to it.
That was nice. As someone who's running for a statewide office in Alabama, I guess that was a good call on your part to mention Alabama football. I appreciate that.
I'm a
good
football
play.
Guy, man. I went to the University of Michigan and won 4 Big Ten championship rings there. My brother played at Alabama, but I went to University of Michigan because my dad loved Auburn. My mom loved Alabama. I heard an argument one day when I was getting ready to sign my scholarship, and I didn't want to break my family apart by choosing either one of them. So I chose Michigan, and I had a great opportunity to play big-time football. But I love Alabama football, and I hope that Auburn can make a decision soon on their coach to get a feel of making this rivalry close again.
I'm talking with Chris Horn. He is running for Secretary of State of Alabama. I did want to ask you only a couple minutes here, but you mentioned you wanted to be an ambassador against the race hustlers. I'm guessing what you're talking about is obviously Alabama has a great voting system. We don't want the left to come in here and change it and throw in a bunch
that's
of
right.
mail-in ballots or something. And I'm guessing that's what you feel like your role will be as Secretary of State, that you can protect it and even make it better. And the race hustlers won't have an argument against you.
Hey, man, you just answered my question. I don't even have to go. You said everything I was going to say. That's my role, to protect the best things that we do in our electoral system to make it better and stronger. I'm sure Wes and the other people are going to say the same thing. And the thing that's different, though, for me, we all agree that we want those elements on the trail to say, hey, we want voter ID. We want people to stand online on vote day and not have a 30-day or an absentee process that dilutes the system. We all agree to that. But I'm the very best guy to be that ambassador, to be like Condoleezza Rice was, and to tell the world Alabama's leading the way. Just like we did in the space industry, just like we did when we built USS Alabama, we lead the way. And being leaders and best to amplify that to other states and to charge them to say, hey, listen, we saw what you did in Michigan. We saw what you did in Pennsylvania. I'm here to say, let's don't do that anymore, and let's show you a better way. And I think that's what we need. I want to sit down with all vestiges of people, man. I hope to get a chance to sit down with those relics from the past and be able to say, let's come together, let's cross the bridge, and let's go forward.
Chris Horn, real quick, if people want to find out about your campaign, how can they do that?
Chris Horn on Facebook. I'm all over the state. Try to find me. Try to find where I am, and I'll post that. But we've got a great, great, great video that's coming out this week that I think you'll be proud of, Yaffe, and your listeners. And I think America will be proud to show what Alabama is about to become when we make history on May 24th. Let's make it together.
All right, Chris, I really appreciate you coming on. I'll talk to you again soon.
God bless you.
God bless you as well. He's fired up. He's going to need that if he wants to win. He's fired up. Good stuff. Appreciate him coming on. One more segment to go. You are listening to Yaffe filling in for Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile here on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Midday Mobile here on FM Talk 106.5. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean Sullivan. I really appreciate him giving me the opportunity to do this for the day. We've talked about a lot of different things, whether it's the Supreme Court case, the fight for school choice in the Alabama legislature. Just spoke with Chris Horn, who's running for Secretary of State. Great conversation with him. He's really fired up about it because he's right. I mean, the left is going to want to change election laws here like they try to across other places in the country. And we have to make sure we have a good representative who's going to fight back against that. So, I mean, he was exactly right on that because, I mean, they even tried to change it here, if you remember. They tried to implement, because of COVID, they tried to implement drive-through balloting, drive-through voting, where you could go through like a drive-through, like it's a McDonald's or something, and you submit your vote like you would order a Big Mac or something. Like it's the same thing. They try to implement something like that, which was totally new, totally against Alabama law, but we had to fight back against it. And of course, we know that if they won that fight, they would have made something like that permanent. And that's what they tried to do in a lot of states. Oh, wait a minute. Georgia isn't going to make all our COVID changes permanent? They're racist. No, they just want to make sure you don't get away with doing that every time because it undermined faith in the system. Whether Trump is wrong or right, and I think Trump was wrong about a lot of things, he was right about one thing, that a lot of people are not going to trust the system where overnight when they dump in a bunch of mail-in ballots, the election changes. Overnight, people went to sleep. Donald Trump was winning. They wake up. Donald Trump is losing. And we wonder why people lost faith in the system. And no, I don't think it was hacking of Dominion voting machines or anything like that. But obviously, there was going to be lack of trust in something like that because that never happened before. And the only reason it did happen is because we changed a bunch of the rules, a bunch of the process because of COVID. And now that states, Republican states and other states are trying to go back to what it was like before 2020, and actually states like Georgia even added more drop-off boxes and stuff like that. They just didn't have as much as they did during COVID, but more than what it was before. Oh, no. You're racist. You're racist. You're trying to prevent people from voting. Well, we have to trust in the system. If we don't trust in the system, if we don't trust in the ballot, then that causes all kinds of problems. And then the Democrats trying to pass HR-run other bills, which would basically federalize our election systems, basically have some kind of central control. They talk about how Republicans are trying to make it like a banana republic or something. Have you ever looked at what they do in banana republics when it comes to controlling the vote and having massive amount of voter fraud? What they do in a lot of those banana republics is it's all central control. It's all done from the top where the central government controls everything when it comes to the ballot. One way we prevent that from happening is we have a process through the states where states have control over this. Federalism is actually a good thing for many different reasons, but also when it comes to the vote. So I do appreciate Chris Horn coming on because he was exactly right. We have to make sure that they don't try to change some of those things in the future because they are going to try to do that in the future. It's just kind of the reality of the situation. Before I go, I do want to mention one thing there's a lot of talk about what's going to happen between Ukraine and Russia. I will say, I have no idea. Only Putin knows is where we're going to go with that. So I'm not convinced that they're going to invade Ukraine. And the Biden administration has been very, very weak on that. Really, really have. Appreciate you listening to the show. This has been Yaffe filling in. Had a great time talking with the listeners. Well, talking with you, the people of Mobile. Hopefully I'll get to do it again in the future. Appreciate you joining me. Follow me on Twitter. Yaffe will be back.